Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to talk with you about some of the stories that matter. There is a lot going on in the country, and we try to cover as many of the stories as possible. I must admit that there are days when we do not have enough time to cover everything. And then there are times when we must put the current news on hold to recognize a moment that has changed both our lives and this country forever. 17 years ago on September 11th, 2001, from 8:46 to 10:28 a.m., the world changed. Americans were suddenly informed in a very hard and cold way that we were not safe. On that day, four planes were hijacked. Two of them crashed into the Twin Towers in New York. One hit the Pentagon in Virginia. And the fourth, which was headed for the White House, crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, thanks to the heroic efforts of some of the passengers. So today, in this first hour, let us remember 9/11 together. I want to go ahead and open up the phones, 410-319-8888, and I want to invite you to give me a call and talk to me about what you remember about that day. 17 years ago, when you turned on your televisions or when you got a phone call that the Twin Towers in New York were on fire, when you heard that a plane had crashed into the Pentagon, what did you think about? How was that day forward, going forward for you? Do you feel safer post-9/11 than you did pre-9/11? Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. While you're getting your thoughts together, I want to give you some other information as we are kind of thinking about this day, because Governor Larry Hogan has directed state agencies to work together to keep Marylanders safe. We are currently under an emergency advisory because Hurricane Florence continues to head towards the U.S. eastern seaboard. Large areas of Maryland have already experienced significant rainfall in the past few days, making the ground saturated with water and thus making this storm a serious threat to life and property. He declared a state of emergency on Monday ahead of the landfall of Hurricane Florence. Governor Hogan says there's an elevated potential for historic and catastrophic rainfall, life-threatening flooding, and high winds, and he urges Marylanders to stay tuned to your local news stations for the latest updates, listen to state and local authorities, use common sense, and most importantly, plan and be prepared ahead of this storm. He said, do not wait until Wednesday, which is do not wait until tomorrow. And for some of us, myself included, to be very transparent, I have not done anything to get ready for this hurricane. I have not bought anything. I have not packed anything. I have not prepared anything. And now I'm starting to get a little bit worried. What are you doing as you're thinking about this storm? Do you have any tips for how to prepare? You've been through something like this before, even though they said this is historic, never before seen. But if this is reminiscent of something that you think you have been through, what are you doing? What would you suggest that people do as they get ready for the storm? I just want you to put those tips up to our Facebook Live page, on the Facebook fan page. We'll talk about what's happening with this big hurricane that's coming, Hurricane Florence, coming up this week. We will keep you abreast of what is happening. Additionally, if you want to find out your Maryland Emergency Management Association zone, go online to HTTPS, and that's backslash, of course, MEMA.maryland.gov/action, and find out your zone, because they're going to tell you based upon your zone what you should do. I also want to note that our school depot is open and ready for you to visit. Folks, we have tons of water. We have boxes full of toilet paper. We have toilet tissue. We have hand sanitizer. We have books and notebooks and pencils that all of you have so generously donated, and now we want to give it to the teachers. I'm happy to announce that Frederick Douglass High School is coming tomorrow. We're going to give a large donation to them, and we are open for any teacher. All you have to do is give us a call, make an appointment, bring your ID, and pick up what you need. We will keep our school depot going as long as we can. And when we run low on supplies, we'll come back to you and we'll let you know, because we have decided, and I think you've agreed with us, that no child in this city, while politicians are working it out, where they're figuring out where the money is, no politician should be able to stop our children from getting what they need to be successful. So please keep us in mind for that. And with that kind of laid out, I want to move into talking about 9/11. Today is the 17th anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center, the attack on the Pentagon, the attack on America as a whole. I think it's important that in the midst of shouting Black Lives Matter and taking a knee and talking about Botham Shem John, that we take a moment to remind people that we have the right to protest. We have the right to take a knee. We have the right to be safe in our own home. People in this country, and I'm thinking about all of the veterans who lost their lives to fight for our freedoms, I want to remember them. I want to think and remember the people from 9/11, not just the people who were in the buildings working. I'm thinking of all of the men and women, the police officers, the firefighters, the first responders who went down to the Twin Towers to fight this blaze, many of whom lost their lives. We must remember, folks, that the real battlefield is not over policies and practices or procedures and laws, but the real battlefield right now is over the state of a person's heart and mind. 17 years ago, 2,996 people were killed. That it does include the 19 hijackers, and more than 6,000 people were injured. Now, when you think about that, that was and still is the largest, deadliest terrorist act in the history of this country. It was the most devastating foreign act on United States soil since the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. Most of those who perished were civilians, but there were 343 firefighters and 71 law enforcement officers who died in the World Trade Center and on the ground in New York City. Another law enforcement officer died when United Airlines Flight 93 crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. 55 military personnel died at the Pentagon in Arlington County, Virginia, and of course, the 19 terrorists. I just want to think about that today. I want to reflect on 9/11. I want to invite you to give us a call, 410-319-8888. Let us remember 9/11 together. We have Keith on the phone. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for calling.
My pleasure. Thank you. I don't want to put a damper on this, but I wish we would stop romanticizing. First of all, romanticizing our military. We use this pat kind of narrative that our military serves to protect our freedoms. To some extent, I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Folks cannot just arbitrarily come over here and attack Americans and just have their way. But fact is, our military is often used to go and destroy and pillage and rob other parts of the world to facilitate our greed. That's part of the reason they exist.
Right.
And we never talk about that part of it. The other thing I wanted to say is when I think of 9/11, I think of white Americans who are who are right now commemorating the attacks on the towers and other areas, but yet they tell black people, forget about what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Stop harping on it. It's insignificant. But when 9/11 comes, they become very somber, and they want to commemorate the attacks on their safety, on their freedoms, quote unquote. The final thing that I wanted to say is we're doing this. This country is commemorating 9/11 in the midst of detaining children. In the midst of detaining children. That is a scourge on this country that I think it will have to live with for the duration of its existence from a historical perspective once it's over. But it's happening as we expect people to become empathetic and compassionate about what happened on 9/11, 2001. This is happening while that is happening. It's happening while black people are being arbitrarily killed.
Now, Keith, I'm going to stop you there because I want to respond because I've let you talk. I want to respond. All the things you're talking about, we cover on this show on a very regular basis. That's what we talk about. The show is focused on all the things you've talked about. But today, we did want to take a moment to remember a significant attack, not just attack on white America. It was attack on black America as well. 12 black firefighters lost their lives going into the World Trade Center trying to save 9/11 victims. I think it is important for us as we're thinking about this day to not just separate that white Americans are mourning. There are black folks mourning today. There are people who practice Islam who are mourning today. There are people who are Hispanic Americans and Asian Americans who are mourning the loss of their loved ones today. It is not just white Americans. America Day to mourn. There were other people who were in those buildings and who went into those buildings to try and save lives as well.
I get that and I appreciate that and I respect that, but I wish that we could get beyond the mourning, beyond, and I don't mean to sound cold and callous, but I hope that at some point we can get beyond the mourning and we can think about what inspired those attacks? What was our role? And how do we, as a country, become better than we are so that we can commemorate 9/11 under the guise of the correct moral attitude? Because right now, I don't think we have it. Not with all the things that are going on. Those who suffered losses should see to it that other people do not suffer losses for the same reason.
Okay, thank you so much, Keith. For those that are just joining us on Facebook, we are talking about 9/11. We are commemorating the day. We just had a conversation with Keith, who does not actually agree with this celebration, and pointed out some of the other things we can think about. He was saying it is a day that white America is mourning while having children still locked in cages, while they're dealing with the issues around the ways in which black people are mistreated. And folks, I'm pushing back on that. I don't think that 9/11 is just a day for white folks to mourn. There were other people in that building, both of those buildings. There were other people of different races and ethnic groups in all of these places. It wasn't just white America, whatever that means, that was attacked 17 years ago. Everybody was attacked. I felt it was a personal attack on me. I lived in New York, looking out of my work, out of my window at work, watching those buildings on fire. That affected me, gave me PTSD. It took me a long time to recover. It's one of the reasons why I don't live in New York anymore. It happened in 2001. We had moved out of New York by 2002. It wasn't just an attack on white folks on 9/11 17 years ago. We have Duane on the phone. Duane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. K. Hey, you're absolutely right. You know, the previous speaker, I understand his sentiment, and you know, he made some good points. But right now, we're commemorating.
Yes. And is there anything wrong with commemorating that, Duane? I don't think there is.
No, there's nothing wrong with commemorating because one of the things that your previous speaker also exposed is that thing inside of African Americans. I'm one, of course. That we don't feel like we're Americans.
Right.
That we allow the evil that surrounds us sometimes to get us out of the thought process that we're actually Americans.
Yes.
We're
I agree.
Too.
I agree.
And we deserve all the rights and privileges of being a full blooded American. Now, on 9/11, I ironically, when I found out about it, I was in Europe in a security briefing, a terrorism and security briefing. Now, how ironic is that?
Wow.
When I'm in a terrorism and security briefing, they have to stop the briefing and send us all home because America was being attacked. And that's when we all found out that terrorists were flying planes into buildings in New York City. It was pretty crazy.
Now, how has that affected you? I mean, you know, so you find out the terrorists are flying buildings in New York. You're down here in Baltimore, right, in this area? Did you feel unsafe?
I did not feel unsafe because at the time I was in the military and I knew that whoever did this, if it was a country attacking us, I knew that they were gonna regret it. But I was angry. I was very angry. I was up all night. I couldn't stop watching it, and the more I watched, the angrier I got, and the more I wanted us to go find out who did this and put our foot in their 2 points of contact.
I completely agree with you. Thank you so much, Dwayne. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking about and we're remembering 9/11. Where were you on that date? Perhaps you're like our first caller, Keith, where you don't think that black folks should even be mourning today, should be commemorating today. I tend to disagree. I consider myself as an African-American to be a part of this country, and an attack on this country I take as an attack on me. I believe what James Baldwin said. It's because I love my country that I so fiercely critique her. Just because I want to force this country to be better, to live up to its creeds, to understand that black folks built this country on our back with our sweat and blood mixed with the soil of this land, as Frederick Douglass said, just because I critique this country does not mean I don't see myself as an American. That was an attack on all of us. We have Nathan on the phone. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Frederick Douglass also said, America has committed crimes that have disgraced a nation of savages.
Yes, he did. You said that before.
This is chicken coming home to roost.
From 17 America years ago, Nathan, really?
Chickens come home to roost. America has been doing so much violence to the world. It's going to come back at you. America has, they're killing people in Syria, Yemen, Somalia. 17 years later, they still killing. That's all America knows. America is a violent place. And you proud to be an American citizen?
You're not.
PTSD.
Yes. Come on, Nathan. Okay, so make sure I understand. You're not proud to be an American, because aren't you the one that always calls and talks about going that we should all move back to Africa? Is that you, Nathan?
Not all of us, because like Marcus Garvey said, some of us no good here. We don't need you in Africa either.
Okay, so I'm assuming that you must be calling from the continent, because the last time we spoke, you talked about all black folks going back to Africa. So what country are you in now?
Even fool. That's what you are.
Okay, thank you so much, Nathan. That's what I'm saying, folks. You complain about the country. That is okay. When you start calling for all black folks to move back to Africa, it should start with you. And the first step is making sure you have a passport and then figuring out what country you're going to go to. Just because I want to commemorate an attack on this soil 17 years ago does not mean that I am not up for the cause of black folks fighting for justice and equality. Let's keep talking about it, though. I'm more than happy to have the conversation. 410-319-8888. Hello, Anna. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Sister, I'm doing fine. 9/11 was very emotional to me. I was at an academy for training. We came out of our training class seeing people jumping out of the windows at the towers. It was something. We were on shutdown. Nobody could go home. People were from all over the country. We had rifles surrounding us as far as keeping us safe. But our main heart went out to our family members where they were. But I have to say, I love this country. I think we all suffer as having hearts and minds and souls that are walking this earth. I think anyone who has a heart for their country, or any individual or human being, felt something on that day.
Right.
That was very saddening. And it could happen again. I love my father and my brother who served for this country and their friends. But when they come home, they talk about America and how America has done in other countries.
Right, right.
And it's not right. But this division that I'm hearing and this PSD, I think the gentleman who called, I think he was trying to peel away some layers of stuff that we need to get rid of. It's a dead horse, and deal with the reality of stop dividing black, white, gray hair, black hair, whoever, so we could come together and make a difference. I think that's all he was doing. But it sounds like, I'm so sorry, but it sounds like you're still struggling with a lot, and all of us need to move past. I'm not saying everybody has to move at the same time. We don't. But love needs to conquer this fear, and I feel safe. I don't feel, I love my Lord so much. If he took me right now, that's fine. I don't fear anything. And if we're real Christians, which I am, I'm only speaking from Christianity, I don't fear what any Muslim, my brother, my sister, my father, whoever, will do with me. And if we can live that and treat each other like that, then with love, then I think we'll be all right. You're going to be all right. I hear it. I hear you. My brother came home from Vietnam sounding like you in your voice. I'm praying for you, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Anna. I appreciate that. Folks, I want to invite you to call in. I do want to be clear, and I appreciate you, Anna. I am not suffering at this moment. I lived in New York. When 9/11 happened, it was difficult. It was difficult because I wanted to connect with my husband, trying to find him. It was difficult because I wanted to connect with my son, who was out with his nanny. It was difficult because I actually saw that. I looked out the window. I saw those buildings on fire. I saw them when they began to collapse. And when I suffered PTSD, it was not something I'm dealing with today. It was back at that time. It was very frightening for those of us who lived in New York at that moment. It's been 17 years. I'm fine. You don't have to pray that I'm going to get through it. I've gotten through it. I just wanted to talk about it and commemorate it. And I want to ask you to call. Keith did chime in from Facebook Live. He says, I did not say black folks should not mourn. If you suffered a loss, then mourn. My point is black folks must adopt a more mature sense of patriotism. We know firsthand the violence that characterizes America. We cannot afford to romanticize it on 9/11 or any other day. Keith, thank you so much. But we are going to keep talking about 9/11 when we come back after the break. Whether or not you think we should stop kind of commemorating it, whether or not you think we're romanticizing it, if you want to talk about what that day was like for you, we will continue to talk about it. 410-319-8888. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.
Travel all over the world, and even if I could not communicate with someone, I could just draw the Twin Towers on a business card or on a napkin. Oh, and everyone would know what that is.
It was also in the background of all the shots. It was the way to look at New York from a distance and say, oh, that must be New York. There's the twins.
It is America that invented the skyscraper and had an influence all over the world.
To the world at large, when they come to New York, what they want to see are skyscrapers. The density, the height of New York. And nothing emphasized this more than the Twin Towers.
Many people around the world saw them as symbols of New York's dominance, and in fact, the United States' dominance. If you look at it from a distance, or looked at it from a distance, you could almost see it as a gateway made by a race of giants.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. So we are commemorating. We are obviously deconstructing and unpacking 9/11. 17 years ago today, there was a very horrific event. I had wanted to spend some time talking about it, remembering, giving time for people to reflect. But there's a little bit of a pushback. Maybe we are beyond that. Maybe, you know, there's no need to romanticize it. I didn't think that's what we were doing. But there's a sense that we are. We are not romanticizing the day. But we do want to stop and think about the people that lost their life there that day. We want to stop and think about the first responders, the firefighters, the police officers who went toward the fire while many of us were running away from it, because that's the natural instinct, but they went down there to work. I do think it's important to take a moment to think about that. Maybe you disagree. Give me a call. 410-319-8888. I have Kadria on the phone from Southwest Baltimore. Kadria, how are you?
I'm good. I want to back up your first caller to begin with.
I seem to have lost Kadria. All right.
I'm here.
You're bouncing in and out, Kadria.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
I look at all the posters on the buses and stuff. So if you see something, say something. I want to say one thing.
Okay, we're going to have Kadria hold on. Can you try to fix Kadria's phone? We have Charles on the phone from East Baltimore. Charles, how are you?
Yes, how you doing today, Dr.
Pitt? I'm doing well.
All right. Now, I'm from East Baltimore, and I'm from Woodlawn.
Okay.
All right, but let me tell you about this. I was at Sudsville washing clothes when 9/11 happened, and I kept telling people, look at the TV, because this event was going on.
Mm.
But most of the people at Sudsville, you know, they were oblivious to it. You know, we thought it was a TV show. And I believe most people thought it was a TV show until it was drilled into us that it was real because they kept showing it over and over again.
Right.
But let me give you the other angle. Okay, so we have a lot of contentions about 9/11 and what actually happened.
Right.
So we're given the story from the government. Now, we have to talk about the other side. We have to talk about YouTube. Now, is YouTube real? Is it to be believable?
Mm-hmm.
Because YouTube is saying that they use nuclear weapons to bring down the towers.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no way that the planes could have done what they are saying to have done. You can take an M80 and you can strap that to a spoon. Now, do you think that M80 would be able to melt that spoon?
Well, if you have the type of fires raging and the fuel, I mean, we,
no,
I,
saying,
wait,
no,
I'm saying
M80.
Right.
You know what an M80 is, right?
No, I don't. What is
dynamite?
That? Oh, dynamite. So melting a spoon.
That's
your analogy.
You hear that loud bang in the neighborhood all the time that sounds like somebody's shooting off a cannon?
I have heard that.
It's an M80.
Okay.
All right. It's a firework. All right.
Okay.
So it's called like a quarter stick of dynamite. So do you think that would be able to melt the spoon?
You mean when it goes off? Now, does that burn? Like, I've never seen an M80. Is that something that burns for a while? Like, what happened? Because if we remember, these planes, when they crashed, the jet fuel burned for a while. Right. So would the M8, does it burn like that?
No, it'll blow your hand off.
Right. I'm saying, but you use an analogy saying, would it burn the spoon? I'm thinking
in
burning, melting, but how can it melt it if it's going to blow something up?
The I-beam.
Mm-hmm.
The I-beams were melted,
mm-hmm.
and the building started collapsing and evaporating. So I don't know any type of fuel that would make steel and concrete evaporate. But when you talk about nuclear weapons and you're talking about nuclear fusion,
mm-hmm.
then you're talking about, and you're using it in a controlled environment in a controlled way because you see the buildings collapsed on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just fall over. So you think if a plane hit and that plane caused that much action, that top piece would have broke over and fell over.